This file is intended to put you into a trance and make you always horny. I hope that's what you want, because that's where it's going. Find a quiet place, relax, and make yourself comfortable. Close your eyes if you want to. There is no need to concentrate on my words. You can let your mind wander where it will. Just hearing my words will put you into a nice, deep state of relaxation. And after all, a trance is nothing but a deep state of relaxation. A deep state of relaxation where the conscious mind is set aside and your subconscious mind takes control. Going into trance is seldom achieved by conscious effort. After all, it is the setting aside of the conscious mind. Going into trance is best achieved without concentrating on it at all. It is something that, given the right conditions, just happens naturally. That is why you don't need to concentrate on my words. Just hear them. Let them wash over you. Let them pass you by like the scenery outside the window of a moving car. Always changing, always new, yet always the same. Yes, there are some signs along the way, but there's no need to read them. No need to focus. You won't get lost. You know the way. This might be a new road for you. You may not remember having been in a trance before, but you have been. Or maybe you remember having been in a trance many times, and this is an old familiar road. It doesn't matter which. In either case, sit back and enjoy the ride. A trance is a deep state of relaxation where we have all been at one time or another, whether we know it or not. A trance is a place in the mind where we all have been. This induction is not taking you someplace strange, but someplace familiar. This road is taking you home. It may have been a very long time since you've been home. You may have traveled very far, so far that the road home is no longer familiar to you, but it will become familiar. The closer you get to home, the more familiar the sights become, until you find yourself knowing that you have been here before. So relax, take a breath, and wait for something familiar. The farther you go into trance, the more you will recognize it as something old, something familiar, something closer to home. Don't worry that you don't know the way. You really do, even if you don't know that you know. And I will guide you until you remember that you know. Going into a trance is the setting aside of the conscious mind. You do it all the time. You do it when you fall asleep. You may not know how you fall asleep, yet you know how to do it. You make the conditions right, and it just happens. If you make the conditions right for a trance, it will just happen. But it's not good to sleep while you are driving, so when you set your conscious mind aside, you will not become unconscious. Instead, your subconscious will take over. You may wonder how this can happen when you are so set on remaining in control. You want to be the driver. As the driver, you may wonder how you can get someplace you don't remember having been, unless you know the way. But being the driver is sometimes the best way to go into a trance. And losing control isn't always losing control. Your subconscious mind is still your mind. And if your control shifts from your conscious mind to your subconscious mind, you haven't lost control, but have gone into a trance. This happens all the time while driving. While driving down an old familiar road like this one. Most often on a road you take all the time while heading home. You start off down the road to home, watching the other traffic, minding the lights, the signs, and being careful to signal before you turn. You keep your concentration on what you are doing, like always. After all, you want to think you are a good driver, and you are. But driving doesn't take all of your concentration, so pretty soon you are thinking over the events of the day. Or maybe you start thinking about what you could have done or should have done. You might even start thinking about what you are going to do when you arrive home. You're not there yet, and it's a long drive. Somewhere in there, lost in thoughts of things to come or things that have been, you shift control of the car over to your subconscious mind. And where does it take you? It takes you home. You arrive home with no conscious memory of the drive. You remember the beginning of the trip, and then you are home. You were in a trance, but you're not there yet. You are still on the way. It's easy to fall asleep while driving, and it's easy to go into a trance when you are not driving. So being the driver is often the easiest way to go into a trance. But you still don't do it by concentrating on going into a trance. Sometimes on a long trip, it's difficult to stay awake. And the farther you are from home, the longer the trip. It's usually the driver that has the most trouble staying awake. Drivers start to do little things to help keep themselves awake, to help keep their attention on the road. Often, concentrating on staying awake is the quickest way to fall asleep. But you don't have to stay awake, do you? After all, you're not driving, or are you? Sometimes a sleepy driver will turn up the music and try to concentrate on the music to stay awake. But that never works for long, does it? Soon the music is just noise in the background, and the more you concentrate on the noise, the sleepier you get. Or maybe as your conscious mind concentrates on the music, your subconscious slips into the driver's seat. You don't know you are asleep until you catch yourself waking up. And you don't always know you're in a trance until you find yourself coming out of that trance. But unlike driving, you don't have to come out of a trance until you want to. You can stay in it until the trip is over and you find yourself safely at home. There once was a driver who had been away from home for many long years, but was now on his way home. While the driver was driving, it had gotten dark, and the driver had gotten sleepy. The driver could have pulled over to the side of the road and slept till morning. The driver even saw a few places to do so. But he had been gone so long, and he was so desperate to get home, and it just didn't seem that far. He tried turning on the radio, but it only worked for a short while. Then he tried turning up the radio volume. Still, he felt sleepier and sleepier. He felt his eyes beginning to close. He cracked the window down to let in some fresh air. He breathed deeply, in and out. He breathed in and out. He felt himself relaxing further into sleep. The music coming from the radio just mixed with the sound of the air rushing in, and his breathing, and the sound of the engine running, and the sound of his breathing, and he felt his eyelids getting heavier and heavier. If I just had someone to talk with, he thought, a stimulating conversation might keep me awake. Maybe even a boring conversation would help. He thought on this for a while as he breathed in and out. He tried to think of people he knew and places he'd been, but that only helped for a little while, and soon his eyelids were getting heavier and heavier. Finally, he had an idea. Long trips in a car will sometimes give you an idea if they don't put you to sleep first. After all, they give you lots of time to think and lots of time for your subconscious to work. The driver decided to find a talk station on the radio. He found one that sounded like it would be interesting. The man on the radio was talking, but it wasn't a conversation. It was more of a monologue. He talked, and the driver listened. He talked, and many drivers listened. His voice was soothing. As he listened to the voice, he breathed in and out. Before long, the driver was totally absorbed by the voice and completely unaware of his driving. Later, he couldn't remember what the man had talked about, but he remembered listening. He remembered listening to the voice as he held the wheel and watched the line in the middle of the road that was taking him home. He watched the line pass him by steadily and continuously as he listened to the voice. Sometimes the line was solid, and sometimes it was dotted. But always, continuously, it appeared at the farthest reaches of his headlights and passed out of his vision while the voice spoke in the background, talking of something he couldn't remember, but something that was very familiar, something that reminded him of home. Home, he thought. I'm on my way home. And as he listened and watched the road, he breathed in and out, and his eyelids got heavier and heavier, and he became more and more completely relaxed. The driver realized he was falling hopelessly and deeply asleep. It took all his effort to give his head a small shake. He found he was still traveling down the road to home and was considerably farther along than he had been before, though he couldn't remember covering the distance between. He thought he was awake again, at least momentarily, but he was sure it wouldn't last unless he thought of something else to keep himself awake. Again, he had an idea, which, as you might remember, or you might not remember, often happens to drivers on long trips. After all, long trips gives your subconscious mind lots of time to think of things. Not that it thinks of things the same way your conscious mind thinks of things, but then losing control is not always losing control. The driver thought it might help if he started counting mile markers between where he was and home. He didn't know precisely where he was, but he knew where he was going, and things were looking more familiar to him now. He was sure he was almost there. The next marker he came to, he would call one. So he waited for the first one and listened to the voice and watched the line in the road, and breathed in and out. One, he counted quietly to himself with no answer from the man on the radio. He breathed in and out. He held the wheel in his hand and watched the passing of the lie. His eyes got heavier. He waited for the second one and knew it had to come eventually. It seemed to take a very long time, but he didn't care, because he knew that each moment brought him closer to home. Now he was watching the solid white line on the side of the road, waiting for the next marker to appear in the far reaches of his headlights, as he breathed in and out. Then he saw it, and he waited. Waited until he was passing the marker, for that was the proper way to do it. Two, he counted quietly to himself, with still no answer from the man on the radio, who spoke continually in soothing tones as the white line drifted past and he held the wheel and breathed in and out. He felt oddly like he was falling slowly into a deep place as he passed each marker and breathed in and out, his eyelids getting heavier and heavier. He saw the next marker making an appearance in the distant edge of his headlights. He tried to remember what the man on the radio was talking about, but didn't know if he ever knew, or what he wanted to know for. Three, he counted, as he passed the marker and waited for the next one. He was closer now, closer to home. The road was going down a long hill and entering a deep woods, and with each passing marker he knew he was going deeper and closer to home. And he breathed in and out as he watched the solid white line on the edge of the road and held the wheel and went deeper and deeper. And still he listened to the man talk, as he talked about nothing he could remember. But what he couldn't remember reminded him that he was getting closer and closer to home. It had been so long since he had been home, and he longed for home. He could think of just two things: wanting to be home and wanting to close his eyes. Four, he counted quietly to himself as he passed the next marker, and the man on the radio continued to talk to all the drivers who were on their way home. And he breathed in and out and went deeper and deeper. He watched the solid white line on the edge of the road and was surprised how quickly the marker came. But he remembered to count five quietly to himself just as it passed, for that was the proper way to do it. And he breathed in and out and waited for the next one. And he went deeper and deeper into the woods as the road went farther and farther down the hill. As he went deeper and farther down, he watched the solid white line slipping away behind him into nothing. He concentrated now on the next marker he couldn't see, as if anticipation would make it appear the sooner. But what he was really thinking of was the voice of the man on the radio. Six, he counted as he passed the next marker and went down and down, deeper and deeper. He wondered if he was home yet, but he knew he had a ways to go. A short way to go. Surely he would be there soon. And he breathed in and out and relaxed more and more as the solid white line passed by uninterrupted. It wouldn't be far now. He thought he remembered that his home was there, deep in the woods at the bottom of the hill. And he went deeper and deeper, farther and farther down. 7, he whispered as he passed the next marker and came that much closer to home. The man on the radio was still talking, and he was still listening as he breathed in and out. As he relaxed more and more and breathed in and out, he didn't know what the man was saying, but he was listening now. He listened, and the solid white line flowed silently past. The sound of the engine and the noise of the wind blowing in the window mixed with the sound of the man's voice, and he became more and more relaxed as he went deeper and deeper and went down further and further. He saw the next marker slide into view in the glow of the headlights. He waited until it had passed, for that was the proper way to do it. 8, he counted silently to himself as he held the wheel and breathed in and out. The white line slipping away into oblivion. The voice on the radio talking directly to him now, taking him home, taking him deeper and deeper, more and more relaxed, further and further down. 9, he counted as the next marker slipped past. Just one more to go and he would be home. Just one more marker and he would be home where he could totally relax, perfectly deep and relaxed and safe at last. He breathed in and out. He held the wheel and no longer saw the solid white line, but he knew he would see the marker as it passed. He had to wait and count it as it passed, for that was the proper way to do it. 10, he counted as he passed the last marker and his car pulled home and stopped. He was now in a deep trance, completely relaxed, and he couldn't remember how he had gotten home, but he knew he was home. And you shouldn't go into a trance when you are driving, though people frequently do, unless you are going to do your driving at home. And you too are now in a deep state of relaxation. You are in a deep state of trance because you went along for the ride. And now it's time to listen to my voice. There is nothing you need to do but listen to my voice. There is no place you need to be, is there? You are already at home, a safe and familiar place. Breathe in and out, completely relaxed and listening to my voice. You are about to go on another journey, a journey deep, deep down into a place where your subconscious is open to my voice, listening to every word. So deep, so relaxed, a place in your mind where what you hear can make lasting changes in your mind and body. A place in your mind where the words you hear will make lasting changes in who you are and how you act. You are aware of only 2 things, your breathing and the words you hear. You can feel your breathing in and out. With every breath, you go deeper and deeper into trance. In and out. The deeper into trance you go, the more you feel the words going deep into your mind. What you hear is true. You know the words are true because you hear them. And what you hear is true because your mind makes it so. The words you hear can form your mind to what is true, what you know is true. You have chosen to listen, and in choosing to listen, you accept all that you hear. The truth is, you are always horny. Just admit it. You know you are. You are constantly sexually aroused. First thing in the morning, before your eyes open, you feel a craving for sexual release. Most mornings you give in to this sexual arousal and masturbate to orgasm, knowing it's inevitable anyway. After all, it's your cock, and you can play with it if you want to. You know masturbation only brings momentary relief, but why deny yourself the pleasure? After all, it's your cock, and you can play with it if you want to. Masturbating first thing in the morning makes you feel like a horny adolescent schoolboy, always thinking of sex and always playing with your cock at every opportunity. You know there is nothing wrong with this, but it still makes you feel a bit guilty. You have been this way since you reached puberty, and surely should have grown out of it by now. To ease your guilt, some mornings you try to resist the urge to masturbate. You want to feel you are taking some responsibility for your urges, taking some small step towards maturity. Yet you try to ignore the urge in the hope that it will just go away. But that doesn't work. The urge is persistent. It becomes more than an urge. It becomes an obsession and refuses to be ignored. After all, you can't ignore being horny, and you're always horny. Still, you try hard to resist the urge to masturbate. Yet to resist it, you have to think about it. And the more you think about it, the more horny you become. As you become more and more horny, you begin to forget why you were resisting to begin with. After all, it's your cock, and you can play with it if you want to. Eventually, you get out of bed and begin getting ready for the day. You might put on the coffee, start your breakfast, or brush your teeth, or any of the routine things you do each morning. Throughout your morning routine, there is one thing always in the back of your mind, a desire for sexual pleasure. After all, you are always horny. You know you are. It is an inescapable fact. If you stay busy enough, you can keep the thought pushed to the back of your mind. But it is always there because, after all, you are always horny. The urge, the desire, the obsession for sexual pleasure is always present. The fact that you are always horny might be pushed to the back of your mind, but it is always there trying to push its way to the fore. Just when you think you have momentarily escaped this obsession with sexual pleasure, you remember it's almost time to shower. And what better place to masturbate than in the shower? Lathered with soap and the warm water running down your body. You love to masturbate in the shower. It makes cleanup so easy. Everything just washes down the drain with the soap and the water. And you love the sexual release, the momentary release from your obsession with sexual pleasure. You feel satisfied and clean and turn off the shower and begin to towel yourself dry. As you rub your genitals dry with the towel, you are reminded of how much you like to masturbate in the shower and start thinking of all the other places and ways you love to masturbate. You know it's too soon for another erection, and you haven't the time to orgasm without an erection, but once again you realize that you are horny. Of course you are. After all, you are always horny. You know you are. Once again, you push your sexual obsession to the back of your mind and go on about your daily business. You begin your ride or walk to work or school or wherever you need to go, and you think all is forgotten. Forgotten, that is, until you realize that your hand is in your lap or in your pocket, gently massaging your half-hard cock. You quickly glance around to see if anyone noticed. You hope they didn't. A moment later, you find that instead of looking around to see who noticed, you are now looking around for a place to masturbate. A concealed place in the bushes, the back of the bus, or perhaps a deserted road on which to park your car and try to satisfy this relentless urge to masturbate. After all, it's your cock, and you can play with it if you want to. That's when you realize that perhaps things are out of control. And they are. You tell yourself that once again, you are acting like a horny adolescent schoolboy. As an adult, you should have control of your urges. You wonder how many times you need to masturbate in one morning. But you know you can't help it. After all, it's not your fault you are always horny. Somehow you manage to resist the urge, this time. You arrive at your destination and try to ignore the fact that you are horny as you go about your task for the day. You manage to push from your conscious the fact that you are horny, but your subconscious remembers. You are, after all, always horny. You continue with your daily tasks, and all seems to be going well, until once again you realize that your hand is in your lap, or in your pocket, massaging your genitals. In panic, you look around to see if anyone noticed. You seem to have escaped attention, this time. You decide that trying to ignore the fact that you are always horny is much too dangerous. You must consciously focus on keeping your hand away from your cock. You don't want to be seen idly playing with yourself. You start to concentrate on keeping your hand away from your genitals. But the more you concentrate, the more horny you become. Everything you see and hear starts to remind you that you are always horny. Even innocent things begin to take on sexual connotations. Every time you look at another person, you wonder if they masturbate. You wonder how they masturbate, and when they masturbated last. You wonder when they will masturbate next, and if they are thinking of masturbating now, like you are. Much to your distress, you start to think about what it would be like to masturbate with them, and wondering how you might arrange it. Every time you see someone go into a bathroom, or closed room, or office, you wonder if they are going to be masturbating inside. And when they emerge again, you wonder if they have just masturbated. All the while, you concentrate on keeping your hand off your genitals. All the while, becoming more and more horny. But what did you expect? You are, after all, always horny. You begin looking around for some place you can safely masturbate. A bathroom, an unused room or office, even a closet. You know you should wait until you are home again, but you simply must relieve yourself. Then, the unbearable happens. You realize you are sporting a huge erection. Unless you do something about it soon, it's only a matter of minutes before someone around you will realize your penis is stiff and hard. Quickly you head for the nearest safe place to masturbate. You know where it is. You have been scoping it out all morning. And this is not the first morning this has happened to you. After all, you admit to yourself as you stroke your hard cock, you are always horny. It's not your fault. That's just the way you are. You try to masturbate quietly because you know there are people just a few feet away. This knowledge adds to the excitement as the cum shoots from your stiff dick. And why should you feel bad about it? After all, it's your cock, and you can play with it if you want to. Your orgasm finally brings momentary relief as you carefully clean up after yourself. You think you might have this constant urge under control, at least until you can get home. But as soon as you emerge from your hiding place, your first thought is to wonder how many people know you just finished jacking off. You feel so relieved from the orgasm that you don't see how they could help but know. Still, your cock is soft again. At least they won't see you with an erection, and you didn't get caught. Wondering if they know just makes you realize you are still horny. But of course, you are always horny. Once again, you go about your tasks for the day, trying your best to keep your urges under control, but remembering the risk of ignoring them. Your concentration pays off, and it's almost time to go home. It occurs to you that at this moment, the urge is under control enough that you can leave before you have to masturbate again. For once you are going to be able to leave, having only masturbated in the morning. You feel that this is a success. Perhaps you are finally maturing, finally getting control of your urges. You congratulate yourself and resolve that you will finish your day for once without an afternoon masturbation session. But then you discover you are not free yet. Thinking of finishing the day without an afternoon masturbation session has made you even more horny. You know you can make it out the door without masturbating again. But if you do, you might need to masturbate on the way home. While the thought of masturbating parked on an empty road, or in the bushes, or in the back of the bus, makes you extremely horny, you feel it would be very immature to do so. And masturbating on the way home would greatly increase your chances of getting caught. You decide to do the sensible, mature thing, and once again head for the bathroom. After all, it's your cock, and you can play with it if you want to. As you stroke your cock to orgasm, you congratulate yourself on making a mature decision. You are, after all, always horny, and should handle it in a mature way. As you leave the bathroom, however, and head home, you feel defeated once again by your urges. But you know it's not your fault. You are always horny. It's the way you are, and you can't help it. You are eager to arrive home where you can play with your cock all you want. At home you go about your leisure activities, but you are still horny. Your hand constantly strays to your cock and rubs it through your clothes. You masturbate once before supper, and after you eat, you sit back to enjoy television or sit at your computer and do whatever else you decide to do, but you know you are always horny. Finally, it's time for bed. As you get ready for bed, you know you are still horny. You are always horny. You brush your teeth and get undressed for bed. You climb into bed and decide to just roll over and go to sleep. It might be a good start to getting your urges under control for tomorrow. Yet you lay there full of resolve, but tossing and turning, still wide awake. You know how to get to sleep. You know you have to do something about your irresistible constant urge to masturbate. It seems a half hour goes by and still you are awake. Your mind is too active to sleep. You feel your cock beginning to stiffen as it aches for attention. You feel a desire in your nipples as they beg you to touch them. You start to wonder just how many people are laying in their beds masturbating right at this very moment. It must be thousands, millions, gallons and gallons of cum being pumped out of hard cocks this very moment. It is futile to deny who and what you are. You are always horny. You will always be a horny adolescent schoolboy. And after all, it's your cock, and you can play with it if you want to. After one last orgasm, you roll over and drift off to sleep, sleeping peacefully through the night. But now it's time to wake up. I'm going to count down now from 5. With each number, you are going to become more and more awake. On the count of 1, you will be fully awake. 5, starting to wake up. 4, you are becoming slightly aware of your surroundings. 3, more and more awake. You feel your body beginning to stir. 2, almost fully awake now. 1, awake and refreshed and always horny.